Yes, indeed we are. Freaking at the Freakers Ball right here on RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 3. What's going on here with my deal? Every Friday night. Trying to get my stuff lined up here. So welcome, folks, in the chat room here. Freaks, y'all, and Moose Girl be calling in momentarily. Any moment now on this, what is this, Friday, January 18th. 2013. So, how's it going out there? Everybody ready to do some serious freaking? Here's the moose. Hello.
Hola.
Hola. How are ya?
I am good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Good.
So.
We made it through another week. Yippee.
I'll tell you, man. I always kind of wonder if we're gonna.
But, I know, me too.
Here we are, you know, at the end of another one.
Here we are. We made it.
So.
Yay for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yay for us.
It's not always easy, you know.
It is certainly not always easy. And, you know.
Right.
What do you do?
That's why we do this show.
That's right.
To try to just reflect.
Refresh.
And be grateful.
Refresh and reflect.
Right. Oh, no, that's way too fucking bright.
Anyway, so.
I'm going to mess with my camera here.
Okay, oh, you're
trying to get it to work. It works. It's just, you know, okay. Messing with it to get it good.
Okay.
So, anyway. Made it through the week, you know, and tonight, last night I was doing dishes and whatever, and I felt like a little bit of heat. I'm like, well, what the hell? Where is that coming from, you know?
Right.
And I didn't think nothing of it, right?
Okay.
So then, tonight, I'm making dinner, and I'm over by the sink area and stuff, and gonna make dinner, I'm doing dishes and everything, and I still feel like this heat. I'm like, well, what the hell? Where is this coming from, you know? Because there's no, like, heat register or anything in that area. Turns out, my crock pot was plugged in, and the knob got bumped to low, so the freaking crock pot was on for, like, 2 days. You know, nothing in it, but it's super hot.
Yeah.
Like, there was a plastic bag behind it, that stuck to the crock pot.
Ah, yeah.
And, you know, I had, like, this bag of chips on top of it that was, like, paper, not plastic. But that could have been really bad.
Sure.
My house could have friggin' burned down from that. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm glad that didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm glad it didn't happen, too. I don't know how that works.
I mean, but just, I'm like, thinking to myself, well, why is it even plugged in? It shouldn't even be plugged in, you know? So now it's not plugged in, but still, it's like, whoa, that was scary.
Yeah, I have mine on a power strip. I just turn the power strip off.
Yeah.
When I'm not using it. I got the,
But that would have been bad, you know? I'm just glad I noticed it.
Right, yeah.
You know? So, just from now on, I gotta make sure, and I told the boys, I said, from now on, you know, because we pile dishes up right in front of it there, just gotta make sure it's unplugged, and, yeah, you know, just be really careful. So.
Well.
Anyway.
Good thing nothing happened there, then.
Right. Right, good thing. Let's see, what else, I had a few things I wanted to discuss, I guess. There's, you know, with all this talk about the economy collapsing and all the preppers and the doomsday preppers, and you got all these different people that are, like, prepping in their way. You got, like, the gun people, and you got, you know, the food prepping people and the gardening people, and, you know, I'm curious to know what everyone thinks is really going to happen here. You know, I think a lot of people are, like, going to the extreme, you know, oh, they're going to round everybody up and throw everybody in a FEMA camp. You know, I truly believe that they don't have the resources to do that. I'm not saying that we have... No, Rome's, dude. It was really hot, like hot to the touch. Even the plug was hot. No, it was on low, but the thing was, it had been on for 2 days. But still, dude, it was scary because the thing was really hot. I mean, I could feel the heat, like, in that corner, like, you know what I mean? Not to change the subject or anything, but Rome was asking questions in the chat. So maybe, but still, I didn't like the fact that that thing had been on for 2 days, and it was really hot to the touch. Right, it was dry. There was nothing in it. So, but it wasn't an oily bag of chips. It was just Mission chips or whatever, and they use paper for their bags and not plastic. So, but it wasn't, that was on top of it, so it was just touching the plastic cover. It wasn't touching the sides, but still, you know. I'm like, yeah, it could have ignited something. It was hot. So.
Yeah, paper catches fire at what temperature?
I'm not sure, but...
Did you ever read Fahrenheit 451?
No.
Paper catches fire at 451 degrees Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit. Oh, okay. So it wouldn't have been. Well, it might have been higher than 200, though, because it was on, even though it was on low, it was super freaking hot. I'm like, oh, my God. No, but back to what I'm saying is, like, Grim, like, what do you think's going to happen? I mean, do you think there's going to be martial law and there's going to be... total chaos, and the government's going to be imposing martial law and gunning down people or rounding people up and putting them in FEMA camps? Do you think that's what's going to happen?
I don't know what is going to happen.
Right.
And it all depends, really, on what direction they decide to go with it, because they're kind of, you know, running the show. But, I mean, if you look at the things going on in the economy, it can't end well. That's all I know. And it's got to end.
Right.
It can't end well because you look at, I tweeted out a thing earlier tonight about the fact that because today the stock market closed at a 5-year high.
Really?
5-year high. Yeah. So
wow.
They act like, well, if the stock market's doing good,
then everything's okay.
Then the economy is perfect. The economy is
right, fine.
And they give you these lying numbers about jobs, and I tweeted something about that yesterday where you know, they're reporting, you what, 7.8% unemployment? And it's about 24-25%.
That's
probably not even the full number, but it's at least that high. So you got that. And then you got the fact that, you know, whatever, and you could consider it for what you want, but like the silver, the mint's running out of silver.
Right.
People aren't buying. People aren't believing their lies.
No.
And then they got all these various crackdowns on everything across the board. You know,
oh, yeah.
We try to say it's, you know, right now the focus is the guns, of course. But you know, there's all the medical care stuff and all these new taxes being slammed on people. And
yep.
Things aren't going well, but they keep trying to paint the picture of everything's going well and everything's fine.
Yep.
So, and it's hard to say, but, you know, you can look at the different indexes, like the shipping index that shows you, the Baltic Dry Index, I've talked about that before,
mm-hmm.
that shows you nothing is shipping anywhere. I reported a story today about how everybody thought this Windows 8 was going to bring up the computer market. Everybody was going to start buying computers again because it was something new and exciting, and it didn't do it, and they tried to say, well, it's just because people are switching off to pads or whatever. No, that's not the reason, because corporations don't load up a iPad on everybody's desk. They give them desktop computers to use. But they're not buying new ones because they don't have business to do so. They don't have the money available. And so something's going to, you know, economically is going to happen, and they're going to probably try and cover it up with war, natural disaster, or civil unrest or whatever. But what will it come down to on the street for you and me? I really don't know. All I could say is you're better off being prepared for what you can than not being prepared at all.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. It doesn't matter really how prepared you are for whatever, because it's only going to last a short while, whatever your preps are. I mean, when I'm talking a short while, and it may be, you know, 6 months to a year at the max, probably for anybody or any family or whatever.
Right.
You can't really prep out for the next 15, 20 years.
No.
There's just no way
it's
to
impossible.
Do it. And something would happen in the interim anyway, and you know, so having the mental preparation, the idea, the concept of what it is you need to do when all the crap goes down, if it does, then that's the main thing right there. And you know, prepping yourself up mentally is your key factor.
What do you mean if it does?
If something happens, because it's probably going to, but I mean, I thought it was going to happen back in 2007, and so we're way down the road here. You know, this is 2013, so
right.
We're, you know, 5-6 years down the road.
Believe me, I
and
keep
it ain't,
waiting.
It ain't
for
happened
it to,
yet.
Yeah.
So
I keep waiting for it to collapse too, and it just they keep just dragging it out, and just it's just like.
So
really?
I mean, you know, I want it to happen. I'd like to see it
I
happen.
I do too.
But it's going to be difficult when it happens. It's going to be rough. I gotta believe it's going to, but I still have to say when it happens, if it happens, because how can we be sure?
Well, we know for sure some things that are gonna happen.
Such as?
Like, prices will be rising, beyond belief for food, like they already are. I mean, every day they go up. So.
Absolutely.
Stuff that we need is gonna go up in price.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, you know, the value of the fiat currencies are going down, which causes the
right.
prices to go up, and so you know, I don't know what do I think is going to happen. All I know is that mentally I'll be ready, and depending on what exact time it happens, I'll be ready for how much going forward down the road physically, meaning with supplies and gear and such things like that. So,
right. I mean, are you prepped, do you feel, right now?
Mentally, absolutely. But as far as, you know, physicals, good stocks, foods, I'd probably go, you know, 6 months without needing new supplies.
Right.
And that's not long, depending on what the situation is, of course. But that's better than most people.
Right? I mean, the mental part is huge. That for sure is huge. You know, I mean, as much, you know, thinking about, picturing the government coming and doing what the Germans did with the Jews.
Well, there's that
them
other
situation. Doing that here.
The other situation, the problem I'd really have a problem with would be water.
Right.
There's just, you know, once the water was gone, I don't know what I'd be doing at that point.
Right.
And that'd be the first to go. That'd be the first thing I'd be running out of.
That you would run out of is water, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I'm saying, no one really knows exactly what's going to happen. And like you said, you know, I'm using stuff now that I prepped for like 3 years ago. And I have to use it because it's going to go bad, like olive oil. It expired in August of 2012, but it's still good, so I'm just going to use it. But now I don't have any olive oil stocked up, so that means, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, and I try to cycle through, you know, certain things that I have. And I was, for a long time, stocking up on canned beans and things like that.
Right.
But I decided I don't want canned beans. I want real beans, and so I've been switching over to that, and pretty much got rid of all the canned beans, the you know, the pintos and those type.
Right.
Other things I still have, you know, plenty of, like green beans and corn and stuff like that in cans.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, those are, I mean, if you're starving, you don't give a crap about BPA.
No, you don't.
That's when it comes down to it.
At that point, you won't give
a
crap.
You're going to say, well, you know, these canned foods may have BPA in them, but I need
but
something to eat,
them because you're starving.
You know, and so, and the other thing in there is there is liquid in those cans that you could, you know, if you're dying of thirst, have a little sip of liquid out of
right.
them.
Right.
Even though it's coated in salt and other stuff, but still, it's better than nothing.
Right. I mean, I think it. If these people that think they're going to be able to go up against the military and fight against the weapons, if the military decides to bomb you, you're going to be fucking bombed, and you're going to be fucking dead. Because you don't got no fucking bomb they got a bomb.
There was this guy in the old...
You don't got a tank like they do. You don't. No. You know, you might have weapons, but you don't got nothing compared to what the military's got.
There was this guy in the old Revolution Broadcasting Channel. I don't know if you ever hung out over there. Back in the Ray days.
A little bit.
Okay. Anyway, there was this guy over there went by the nickname of Devnull. And he was always talking about he was ready. He was gonna dig in. He was gonna build himself a foxhole. He had weapons up the yazoo.
Right.
He was like, and you're gonna do what?
Yeah.
You're gonna go up you by yourself, because he didn't have any, like, you know, anybody that could really hang out with and shoot with or whatever. So he was gonna be the guy. He was gonna be hanging out in the foxhole, and he was gonna take them all down. It's like, no, you're not. Sorry, buddy. Oh. He was pretty much of a troll, but it was kind of funny because he was so transparent in the things he was saying that there's just no possible way he could pull off his little, whether he really believed it or not, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say. You're right. If they're bombing civilians, Asmo, it's over.
Right. If it's at that point, you might as well just kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah. You know, if you got a nice hole you can dig down in that's, you know, a few stories below the surface, and with supplies down there, maybe.
Right. Jesus.
But outside of that, I don't know. Yeah. Space. Anybody hanging out over there, you know, Devnull, Space remembers him. I know Meme remembers him. Meme used to have a fun time with him. and he wasn't alone. I mean, there were other people, other trolls in the chat there.
Right. I mean, the reason I'm interested in owning a firearm is because I just want to be able to have self-defense for the most part.
Yeah,
that's
sure,
the main
absolutely.
Reason. I don't think that I'm going to be able to get a bunch of weaponry and ammo to fight the government with. That's
not
going to happen.
No, and
that's not the purpose for me, you know.
Right.
Trying to run away and hide from the government. I'm sorry. If they want to find you, they're going to fucking find you, right? I mean,
probably.
Where are you going to go? Unless you said, like, you got a fucking hole dug or something, you know. You got a bunker dug in the ground somewhere to hide out in.
Yeah, I forget.
There's really nowhere to go.
There was some guy talking about buying an old missile silo. I forget who that guy was, but he was kind of funny to talk to. He's going to hang out in his missile silo. And for me, you know, self-defense, number one, against marauding neighbors that try to come and get your goods, is the number one reason for having some sort of firearm or other weapon-type protection. The second one is, though, if there ever was such a thing as FEMA camps and they tried to round people up to go to FEMA camps, I wouldn't be going. I would
not be going.
And my firearm, for me at that point, would be maybe I could take out at least one or two of them before they kill me. Because they will kill me because I ain't going.
Right, exactly. The only way they're moving me to a second location is if I'm dead.
Yeah, I'll be in a bag. And that's it. I mean, because...
And I won't be any good to them then, will I?
No.
So I'd rather die on my feet than groveling on my knees, right?
Absolutely.
So, fuck them. Try to come and get me. If you gotta do that, you gotta do that, but I ain't going to your second location. No, I ain't helping you out.
No, yeah, that's it. That's it's over at that point.
Right.
So if they come breaking down my door, that's the end of the story.
Yep.
And you know, I've got enough weapons in every room of the house that
You'd put up a good fight, though.
What?
You'd put up a good fight.
I'd try, man. I would try.
Yeah.
I'd try and take out at least one or two, you know?
Right.
I don't know if I could, but I'd give it a whirl.
Right, you know? Yeah.
But that's the line. That's my line in the sand. The front door, that's it.
Right, yeah. I hear you.
Yes, indeed, Free. The control freaks are out of control.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, and I was listening to Micro Vero today, and, you know, he said, you know, the people aren't buying it anymore.
No, they're not. They don't believe the crap at all.
They're not eating up as fast as they used to.
They're not what again?
They're not eating it up. They're not falling for this shit. Right. They're not believing it anymore. These guys have been saying, we're going to fix the economy. We're going to fix the economy. You know, and people are still sitting unemployed. People don't believe it anymore.
Right.
It's been years.
Well,
don't believe it anymore.
I heard him at one point, I think it was today, talking about the Sandy Hook hoax video.
Right.
And how that video's got 10 million views on it.
Right.
Just some clown made this little video about Sandy Hook being a hoax, and it gives some good information showing the inconsistencies in the story.
Yeah.
And people are going, this is obvious bullshit. I mean, they
right.
obviously had all of this gun control crap set up before Sandy Hook, whether Sandy Hook was staged or not, whether those people were actors or not, whether anybody actually died there or not.
They
already had the plan in place ahead of time.
Right.
And
exactly.
Whether that guy was MK Ultra or not.
Who knows?
And the fact that there was probably a lot more shooters there than just that guy, if that guy was even a shooter, you know.
Right.
Exactly. Like the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act was written years before 9/11 was pulled off.
Yep.
You know, so... they plan these things out well in advance, and it's like, well, look, we got to do this now because this thing happened.
Right.
Because you caused this thing to happen. You created
yeah.
this thing. Patriot Act. And they give them those names that make you think, well, I got to support this. I'm a patriot.
Right.
It has nothing to do with it.
Some people still eat up that crap, but...
Oh, sure. You know, you still got plenty of flag wavers out there and Bible thumpers and...
There's still the Obama lovers out there and the whole, oh, we gotta get rid of guns, you know, something like this happens. And there you got those bandwagon people that jump, oh, yeah, get rid of all the guns, you know, guns suck, guns kill. Well, it's like, really?
Right.
You know, you don't need to jump to go to extremes, you know. Let's talk about what's really going on here. Let's talk about the fact that all these fucking shooters have been on psychotropic meds.
Okay? Right, absolutely.
Because you got a bunch of people out there right now. I live in Wisconsin. There's people in my neighborhood right here that own weapons, guns. Okay, they're hunters. They own rifles, but they're not going crazy and walking into fucking stores or theater or something and shooting up the place. Okay?
No.
They have weapons. They got ammo right in their house, right down the street here, and they're not doing that crap. So. The argument doesn't work for me. The whole get rid of the guns, that's not the answer. The answer is the mental stability of the person that owns the gun.
Right.
And what kind of meds are they on, you know?
Plenty of them.
Right, you know. So you gotta... These people are jumping on the wrong freaking bandwagon here. You know? It's just... I have to keep my mouth shut most of the time. I can't... talk about this to most people because most people are, oh, you know, if you try to talk about it being made up or, you know, oh, how could you say that? You know, their fucking head starts to try to spin off their body, so I have to keep my mouth fucking shut, you know?
Right.
So.
Well, it'll definitely include all of us, Kate.
What?
Kate says the new definition of mentally unstable will soon include all of us. It'll
definitely
include all of us.
Already.
Anybody that tunes into RLM.
The real crazy motherfuckers are the ones in D.C., okay? The ones that are doing it. The ones that are saying, yeah, drop bombs on this country. Blah, blah, blah. You know, and it's not Obama. Because he's just a puppet. So, they're trying to tell us we're all fucking crazy when we know the truth. They're the ones that are fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, they're the mass murderers, the genocidal type.
Right,
you know,
they're the scum of the earth.
They're the eugenicists.
Right.
Yeah, yeah
so they're
I mean,
the
you
ones
know,
that are the real terrorists.
They're the ones bombing people with robotic airplanes.
Right.
You know.
And poisoning their citizens with remote control ones.
Yeah, with all kinds of things, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had time to watch that documentary I put into today's blog post.
Which one?
It's about fluoride.
No, I heard you talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's in there. You can just look back over
okay.
the weekend. It's an hour. So it's worth it for you.
I mean,
that's just one little minor little item. That's just the fluoride. That's not even talking about the, the nasty stuff in the vaccines and all the sweeteners and crap and the crap they put in the meat and stuff.
Right.
The chemtrails, yes, obviously in the air, and then the stuff that comes through the various radio waves, whether it be your TV or radio or whatever media they try and poison your brain with, and it's just on and on and on. The list just doesn't stop, you know.
No.
Everything that you that touches you, they pretty much want to cause to have a bad effect on you.
Right.
So.
Yep. Yay.
Yay, indeed. Hey, let's hear a couple of tunes here.
All right.
And we'll come back. In case you didn't know, you probably don't know. I don't know why you would know. I'm recording the audio portion of us when we're, the non-song portion of it.
Oh, okay. So, cool.
Anyway, we've got some tunes here for you.
All righty. Let's hear them. Okay.
Okay. We're back. I don't know why, but that particular song decided it wanted to buffer on me. So, anyway, whatever. That's the Do Nots. I guess Do Not Play. For what it's worth. Oh, boy. Starting off with Cheap Trick there, and whoever that was that sings, it's a good day to whoop somebody's ass.
Yeah, I felt like that a couple times this week. Whooping ass.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Probably, I'm not happy, dude.
Probably the day you requested that song.
Yeah, I am not happy because this is bullshit. And, I've been trying to work in this system the last 4 years, and it's just not happening. I mean, I've had 4 or 5 different temp jobs, they're supposed to be temp to hire or whatever. And this current job that I have, that's how I started there, was as a temp, got hired. Oh, now I'm laid off to one day a week. I don't even want to work there anyway because it's freaking nasty with the materials they use there.
Right.
I mean, that stuff gets in your clothes. It even, gets into my bra. And you can't get that stuff out of your clothes. So, some of the clothes you can, but some of them you can't. It's hard to explain bra material. But once those little fibers get stuck in there, you can't get them out. And it's like, I don't know. I was hired to work there in the office. If she tells me or asks me to work out on the floor, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to say no. Because that's not what I was hired for. I was hired to do office work here.
Right.
And if they say, well, that's all we have for you right now, I'll say, well, I'm going to go home. Or just... let me go, so, and I'll collect full unemployment and look for something else, because whatever, But it's just frustrating, because you apply for jobs, and it's so freaking degrading, because you don't hear nothing back from anybody. You just apply for jobs, and you don't hear back or anything. It's just like, what the hell, It's just, after a while, it makes you feel really bad about yourself.
Sure.
You feel degraded. You really do. And I'm a person, I want to work. I don't want to be one of these people just, whatever. But there's just not enough jobs and too many people looking for jobs.
Yeah, but you got some pretty good ideas of things you can do on your own. And,
right.
And that's probably kind of the way to go. With that way, there's no reason to sit around hoping that somebody's going to hire you or wondering what your next thing is going to be. It's because it's going to be whatever you make it.
Yep. I mean, at this point, I truly think that's the way to go. I mean, I've literally been beating my head against the fucking wall for 4 years.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's fine to be unemployed for a couple months, but once the third and fourth month start rolling around, you're just like, this is bullshit, this sucks, you can't do anything. I mean, you can't, not that I want to do anything, but you get so behind in your bills and everything, little by little, because you're not bringing in the same amount of money you were when you were working full time. You're not getting paid the same amount. It's not a walk in the park being on unemployment. It seriously fucking sucks.
No.
And it's just like, I have to freaking do something else,
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to start doing that. I want to have, a brainstorming session or something and just you know, throw out idea after idea and this, you know, just write them all down, you know, and just go from there. Like, make a whole list of brainstorming, like Asmo's saying he might be in the same boat too. You know, I asked the boys tonight, I said, would you guys be interested in having your own lawn service business, you know? And they, Matt said, yeah, and then I asked Zach, and they're like, I'm like, well, you guys just think about it, you know, let me know what you think. So, I mean, I just want to have, because that's my problem a lot of times, is the I have creative blockage, you know? But when you get desperate, I think your creativity is more apt to kick in at that point than any other point, right?
Sure.
And it's just hard because it's just, I think it's hard for a lot of people because it's just not what you're used to. You know, it's something unknown. It's something you've never done before. It can be scary, but you just have to, like, overcome the fear and just keep going ahead. You know, you can't get stuck. You can't stop, you know? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's stressful, dude. It sucks. It's just, ugh. And I get pissy because I know the reasons why things are the way they are right now, but sitting and dwelling on those reasons, it's not going to help me. You know? Just having the knowledge is great, but that's not going to help me either. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, knowing it's awesome. It's great that I know it, but I just don't... I can't, like, get pissed off about it or anything. I can be mad about it, you know, but I can't, like, let it run my life either, you know?
Right. Here, let's watch this little video here.
Alright, let's listen to it.
What if they really hate us? They hate everything we stand for, and they really are all about whatever our overtures to the Muslim community or lack thereof, that they're all about destroying us. They just can't stand us and want us dead.
Well, they might ask the same question. What if we didn't hate Muslims? I mean, we have to build up a lot of hatred for us to go 6,000 miles away and kill people with drones. And this is where the conflict is coming. We have to beat the drums of war and this hatred that we have to go over and do these things. And then all of a sudden, we have an epidemic of suicides of American soldiers that come back. What am I doing over here shooting these drone missiles and little kids dying? And innocent people dying, and all of a sudden they come back, and now more people die from suicide. You know, our soldiers are committing suicide. So I think it's a failed policy.
You're right, Ron. It's a failed policy. Anyway, I brought that up because the headline was something about Ron Paul railing against the king of the world, which was not what that video was at all. But I think we all know who that is, right? Yeah, I'll give you. There's probably it's that video they were talking about is probably somewhere in this post. It's kind of hard. Yeah, drones killing little kids. Yeah, that's apparently normal. That's fine. It's okay to kill little kids with drones. Just don't do it if you're not a governmental person. I think that's how that works.
Christ, I was fucking muted. Here I am trying to fucking talk. Sorry. My bad. I was going to just say, Madeleine Albright said it a few years back, how, you know, the death of children was absolutely necessary.
Oh, yeah, she's fine with it.
Yeah, you know, so it's par for the course.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about these 26 kids that supposedly died and got gunned down and everything and blah, blah, blah. But they, you know, they no mention of all the other children that are killed on a daily basis by the U.S. Right?
Oh, right.
You know? And the military suicide thing, that's being reported on, but not as much as it should be. But, you know, that happens all the time where stuff keeps happening that they can only ignore it for so long, you know, before they have to freaking come up with some kind of report on it.
Sure. I mean, you know, when you got more military people committing suicide than are actually dying in war.
Right.
It kind of, you know, there should be some kind of red light going off there. Somebody should be saying, hey, what the hell's going on? This ain't right. Something ain't right.
Exactly. You know, I mean, and I no one responded, but I put a question on the World Truth, wondering if the military, if given a choice, you know, if they're standing there and they're ordered to, like, gun down Americans, like their fellow citizens,
right.
You know, or whatever. I hate that word, citizens.
Good.
But,
I'm glad
you know, gun down Americans,
yeah.
Would they do it?
Some would.
Would they just keep following orders? Seriously?
Well, some would.
Bother
them? They try and hire the biggest thugs they can find, obviously. Yeah, some of them would, you know.
I would hope that most of them would.
Remember Ohio State, right? So,
yeah.
Is that Ohio State? Is that the name of that school? I know it was
Kent
in Ohio.
State.
Kent State. Kent State. Kent State. Okay, that's the one, yeah. So, I mean, some of them would kill their fellows, and you see cops every day killing citizens.
And they love to kill dogs, too.
Yeah, no, they don't care. So, some would absolutely kill, and some would
right.
not. And you would hope that it would balance out at some point and get rid of each other, maybe. I don't know.
World Truth does not load. Okay, there. It's finally loading, but it takes forever. But anyway, I was just wondering if you posted a thing about our show. Yeah, you did. Okay. But we're not on World Truth Radio now, are we?
No. Rob's on.
Oh, okay. Just wondering. It would be cool if, like, he wasn't on right now, though. You know? But that's okay.
No, he's on. Oh, yeah, that's something else. We had this meeting the other, last week, I guess.
Yeah.
Some of the World Truth people. And,
yeah.
I think it was Bo or somebody. You know, they thought, hey, you know, if you guys were on Saturday night, you know, nobody's on, you guys could do your show on Saturday night. And they're like, well, we've been on Friday nights for like three and a half years now.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
So, yeah.
I mean, what's the guy doing, though? Just playing tunes? Is that...
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's fine. We play tunes, too. I mean, yeah. I don't know. Never mind.
No, I know.
I'm just hoping that... I would just think that a lot of those people on that site would get into our point of view and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, you never know, though. You never know.
Right.
You know, I simulcast the news on there every day, and I don't know that... Anybody tunes in, yeah. You know, you might have a couple of people, regulars, that do or not, but...
I just thought
it's social networking, so take it for what it's worth.
Right.
So.
I just think there's just so much confusion, and I mean, about people are like, well, we gotta do this, we gotta do that, you know, we gotta, you know, they're gonna come after us, so we gotta fight back. That's not the answer to me. You can't go against their weaponry.
No, but I just gotta wonder where the critical mass is. What's the tipping point? How many people is it going to take to stand up and say, no, you're not taking my guns without killing me, before enough people have been killed that they're going to say, all right, well, this ain't going to work.
Right.
And will we even hear about it once they go in and start mass murdering people at their doors for not handing over their weapons?
Yeah, we'll hear about it eventually. I mean, everyone will know about it. It'll be happening nationwide if they do that.
Yeah,
but there is hope, because there are, like, certain sheriffs, and I posted a link for the one Pine County sheriff in Minnesota that isn't going to freaking go along with it, and you got the state of Oklahoma, they're saying they're not going to go along with it, you know, and that's good to see that.
Right, and that's what I hope.
Very good.
I hope that everybody that says at this point in time that they'll never turn over their guns actually don't.
Right. Don't do it.
But, you know, some of them will.
Some of them will, I suppose, you know. Some of them will because they think that's the answer. Oh, get rid of all the guns.
No, they will not, because they think it's the answer. It's because they authority told them to. And so if it's the law, of course, they've got to follow that. That's the belief. You know, it's the belief, the most dangerous superstition, as Mr. Larkin-Rose says. The belief in authority.
Right.
Believe in that crap, then there's nothing more dangerous than that.
The belief that you have, that you need to be told what to do. You know, you need to be told how to live your life, because you don't know how to make that decision for yourself.
Let's see what asthma's got here.
You know. the way that, and this has been for years now with this flu shot thing, right? I mean, the way they promote this thing, it's ridiculous. And then you hear, well, it's only 60% effective. Well, then, you know,
no, it's
why would I inject myself with that?
Well, it's 0% effective.
Right.
It's basically what it comes down to. Because, what do they mean? 62% of the people that got the shot didn't get the flu? Well, they weren't going to get the flu anyway.
It contains the goddamn virus.
It's not like 100% of the people get the freaking flu.
Right.
So stupid. You know, let's watch this little video of Asmo's friend's setup. I don't know what the hell it is. It looks like a bong or something. Sweet. That's a nice pipe, man. 12-inch inline hops water pipe.
All right.
Sovereignty ash catcher. Ooh, it's a sovereign water pipe.
Ooh. Better yet. No, that's pretty cool, though.
No, it is. That looks like a
really
sweet
cool
setup.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, a lot of people have had the flu, too, you know, and my kid, I took him in 2 days ago or whatever day it was, and they said, no, he doesn't have strep. And then they called me last night. Well, we did the 48-hour, you know, we let it sit for 48 hours. It turns out he does have strep. I'm like, okay, you know, whatever.
Right.
Well, no, you know, he'll be fine. He's all right.
Yeah.
He's on the meds now, so it'll be good.
Yeah,
so
that,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, people get strep, no big deal.
Yeah, that's no big deal. Well, anyway, yeah, you know, and I truly believe, I think that a lot of people that come down with the flu actually did get the shot.
Sure. And that's the thing is yeah. they're saying it's 62% effective, which is obvious bullshit.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is that if, let's say 100 people got the shot and 62 of them did not get the flu, that means 38
right.
did. That means probably if those people didn't get the shot, maybe only 10 of them would have got the flu. So it
right.
it increased the flu by 28%.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
But,
I mean,
know,
seriously,
they
bad.
They need to try
the
and force it down.
The propaganda is just heavy.
Yeah, and nonstop. Yeah.
Nonstop, right. And, you know, these cops shooting these dogs. What the hell? Really? Really? I don't get that. I mean, obviously, if you got a pit bull or something, or any dog charging at you, you know, wanting to attack you, that's different.
Right. Well, let's see what happens if a cop dog starts charging at you.
Right.
And you shoot it. Then what? It's not just, oh, well, you can get another one, which is what they told the guy I was reading the story the other day. Oh, you can get another dog. Don't worry about it. What?
Right.
What the hell
yeah.
are you talking about?
What?
That's his freaking kid.
Yeah, that's like a part of your family. It's not... Oh, it's just a dog. No.
Yeah. It's not like some, you know, random mutt on the street you shot. Somebody's dog, man. It's their family, right? You know,
right.
People
yeah, because Rome,
that's
Rome
your kid.
Saying, right. They charge you with capital murder for killing a cop dog.
Right, exactly.
You know, yeah. And because they're one of them. You know, they're a cop.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, they consider it that way on their end, but if it's your dog, too bad. It's
too
freaking
bad.
Too sad.
Yep. You're out of luck. You're SOL. The devil's weed. I love that. That is so far from the truth. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Cracks me up. Yeah.
All right. You ready for some more music
here?
Yeah,
let's hear some tunage.
All right.
It's a good time for it.
Fabulous Thunderbirds here coming up. All right. That's the Beasties there for Rome's and The Cult for me, and starting off there with the T-Birds for Miss Kate. Yeah. Interesting mix in that little set. Oh, boy. Rome's D. Oh, Mike D. Oh, boy. kind of fun stuff. Oh, yeah, I wanted to play this one. Yeah, I'll get this up in the next set here.
I'm here.
There she are. What's going on? What it be like?
I are here.
Arr.
Arr. I'm Edie. Anyway, I can't remember what we were talking about when we went off the air. Oh, well. I'll think of something else.
Okay.
So, let's see, what else could we pick to talk about? Oh, yeah, I was talking about... Wasn't I talking about stuff to do, like, to make a living?
Yeah, just not make a living, but, you know, just generate cash flow.
Right, yeah. I mean, I will keep trying looking for work, but it's just, like I said, it gets so degrading. You fill out applications and blah, you don't hear anything. Yeah, you know, you don't even get a call. You don't even get, you know, you don't get a call for an interview or anything. It's just like, what the hell?
Right.
So frustrating, you know? So I got several things I'm thinking about doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, just have to go for it, I guess.
Yeah, just,
no,
you know.
That wouldn't be appropriate for you.
What's that?
Thar she blows would not be appropriate.
Hey, maybe it is. I guess that all depends.
Right, yeah. Maybe if I was a whale, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but anyway, just, I gotta do something because it's just not working out for me.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be one thing. You don't have to say this is what I'm going to do and do it. You could be lots of things that you could be doing, all at the same time. You know, just have to pick the motivation. Obviously, that's always the toughest thing to come by, right?
Right.
You know, getting coming up with the ideas is kind of difficult, but once you do, actually putting them into practice and starting to do them, and then figuring out all the logistics. Various things you need to do, because there's a lot of aspects to, regardless of what it is, how simple it may sound.
Right.
There's going to be.
Well, you can't just, you know, you got to start small, I believe.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're not going to start off as the next Microsoft.
Exactly. So yeah. Practice with child labor. I don't get that. I have two kids. That's it. And I told them the name that you came up with for our company, Grim. The boys.
What name?
Mooseford and Sons.
Mooseford and Sons, yeah. And yep. That'd be perfect, too, like if you had a junkyard going.
Right. Yeah. And I told them we're going to have a garden. And I told them to think of stuff they want to have in the garden. They're like, we want corn. I'm like, okay, we can have. Zach's like, I want a pumpkin. I want to grow pumpkins. I'm like, that's fine.
I see where Free was going now. You had to explain it. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Funny.
Oh,
he was being a comedian. I get it. Okay.
He's a funny guy.
He is a funny guy.
Sometimes his jokes are a little obscure, but, you know, I want you to understand him.
Once you get them in context, you're all good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's hard when you're doing the show, and, you know, sometimes I don't read chat as fast as I should, so, you know.
Where the hell is everybody tonight? It's kind of a slow night. Where's everybody at?
I don't know. I was wondering that myself. That's
why
I was wondering.
We got Rome's
and
Kate.
Thing.
Rome's and Kate and Free and Asmo.
No, no Beetle.
Just those four. I think that's the whole crowd.
What the hell?
Yeah.
That's why I was wondering about the World Truth thing. I was like, it would be nice if we were on the air there, too, right now.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it's
hell?
Great if someone wants to go on and play tunes, but Christ, you can turn your radio on for that.
True enough.
But I guess each to their own, you know, I don't know, whatever. That's
no,
fine.
They're getting a lot of DJs going on over there now. I don't know, Andrew, and they got some other guy, I forget his name, and then they got Mary, what the hell's her name? She Grammy?
Grammy,
yeah, she was on there. She was jamming out to some tunes, and then you got Rob and Bo, So they're getting quite a few DJs, but they all just play music, you know.
That's great. You know, play fucking music, but really? What's the point of that?
No, it's cool. I like
no,
it.
No, it is cool, but at the same, I mean,
every now
I don't
and then I'll tune in when you know, if I'm, depending on what I'm up to.
Like, we used to, I don't know. I think, you know, this show is great, and we like to have fun with this show, so it's not really a serious news show.
It's not a serious news show at all.
It's never really serious news, but
yeah,
I'm just saying, like...
No commercials is nice, absolutely, Kate. Yeah, you know, I enjoy... And depending on who it is, you know, certain DJs on there, I like their music selections, and other ones I don't really like so much. But that's all right, you know.
It's hard for me because I have a commercial radio station, or not a non-commercial radio station here in my town that I'm supporting, so I really have to decide what I'm going to devote my time to listening to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not dissing it. I think it's great. It's awesome. Okay, don't get me wrong. I just think it would be great if there was other people on there willing to do like an actual show, you know, about this, or a prepper show or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Well, go out, get one, do it.
Okay.
Do a prepper show. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but you know, I'm not like the ultimate prepper.
It don't matter.
I could call myself the fucking beginning prepper or something. I don't know.
The prepper. I'm preparing to be a prepper.
Yeah. Something like that. I have to think about that. I could come up with a good name.
There's plenty of information out there. If you wanted to, like, pick a topic and then research it out, you know, for one show, just do one thing, you know. And there's tons of information. There's lots of prepper sites, you know.
Right, so when you do this show, and when you do your news show, and you have it streaming like two other places, right?
Not here. This one's just here.
No, but how do you do that? Like, how does that work? Like, if it's streaming on Livestream, and it's streaming on Real Liberty Media, and then it could be streaming on World Liberty, or World Truth, too.
Okay, well, for this show, it's just on Livestream.
Okay.
Okay. But
it's embedded...
Well, yeah, it's embedded, and so you can bet it wherever, but it's still the live stream thing. And I could also bring up my Winamp and stream to Channel 1 and also to World Truth at the same time. It's real simple to do.
Okay.
All you got to do is set up your – and it doesn't have to be Winamp, but Winamp makes it really easy to do. So depending on how you want to do it, you know, you can stream to – various video sources too at the same time if that's your desire.
Okay.
You know, and you can go to Livestream and Ustream and JTV all at the same time if that's.
I'm just saying it would be cool to have, if I'm broadcasting, to have it be simulcast or whatever at World Truth.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. And I think Bo is the one managing the radio schedule there.
Okay.
So just say, hey, Bo, I want to do a show. It's going to be this day of the week or whatever, mm-hmm. and it's going to last this long, and put me on your schedule there.
Okay. I'm game. I mean, now right now, I have time right now, so might as well.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be cool.
Yeah, and then you bring up just install Audacity and bring that up to record. And then you can throw your podcasts up somewhere.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I can do that. I can get started next week and just pick a day, because during the day would be the best time. Like, after you, but then you got Mike on at that time, but...
Don't matter.
You know, I don't know. Sometime during the day would be good, probably.
Whatever works, you know.
Right.
It's your thing.
The llama kicks ass. What's the llama? It's the Dalai Lama?
No, Winamp, you know, really kicks the llama's ass. That's their little MP3 that they ship when you install Winamp, it plays that little thing. Winamp kicks the llama's ass.
Okay. Yeah, see, I had no idea, so that's why I'm like, what the hell? Dalai Lama? Okay.
That's been on there for I don't know how long, since the 90s, I guess. You know, whenever Winamp first came out, I mean, it's always been their little thing.
It's been a while. I don't have Winamp. Winamp did not work for me. It might now, but at the time that I was using it, it didn't work. So
yeah,
I don't
use it as a player, but it works great for broadcasting. You just get the Shoutcast DSP, and then everything goes. So.
Right. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I use VLC for playing.
Yeah, that's what I used to. DLC is good. So, yeah, anyway, I don't know. What else? Let's see here. Oh, yeah, I mean, I could do the... I made a blanket for the raffle, like I said. And it turned out really good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I could do something like that, too. I mean, like you say, it's going to have to be... It's not going to be just one thing. It's going to be a myriad of things.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
if
obviously,
you're...
I'm not going to do yard work in the winter, you know?
Right. But if you're crafty, you know, you can make crafts all year long and sell them on online.
Right. In the summer, you can go to flea markets or craft fairs or whatever,
yeah.
You know? And we have a lot of craft fairs here in Oakland.
And while you're out doing your crafty stuff, you could pick up metal chunks and take them down to the scrapyard.
Right. And if I go to the craft fairs with something to sell, you know, if I do the oil thing again, which I'm pretty sure I'm going to do that again.
Again? You never really did it the first time.
No, I never really did it, but I'm going to order the kit and everything, you know, and get signed up and everything again. I could bring those with me, too.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, have a table and just, you know, put some brochures out or whatever, you know, and just say, hey, and have, like, a few of my favorite ones that I know more about than the other ones, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, like I said before, it's a matter of overcoming fear and being confident and being positive about it and just getting out there and doing it, you know?
Doing it.
Right. And I felt really good about making that blanket. You know, I set my mind to do something. We went out, we got the fabric, we fucking came home, we made the fucking thing, and we were done, you know?
Boom, boom, boom.
Yep. And it was like, that's how you do it. You know, you just get it done. Get her done, right? Yeah. Staying focused and motivated. And then Kate made a point, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to get up this whole thing all set up. It's going to be all organized. And she's like, don't get too wrapped up in doing that part of it. Sometimes you just got to take the stuff out and just start doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can't worry about, oh, I got to organize and clean for half the day before I can get started on whatever, you know, it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So you have to, like, you know, stay on task and, you know, accomplish the goal. You know, as fast as you can. But it is a transition, you know. It's scary. You know, when you're not used to it, you've never done it before and everything, you know what I mean? Yeah, you got to stop procrastinating.
Yeah, these are key factors here. First off, you got to start.
Right.
Before you do anything, you have to actually start.
Yeah, you have to just do it. I get that. Right.
I had a thing lined up. I don't know if I did. If I still have it or not. But it doesn't really matter. It was just like how to create your own business plan. But you don't really need that at this point in time.
Right. Like, I mean, I was keep saying don't commit to non-income producing radio shows, which is true. It does not produce income. That is true.
Not at all.
So, you know, if it did, it might be different. But then I'd have to deal with commercials and crap. So, yep. Right. I really don't have the time to do a scheduled weekly radio show. Yep. And, you know, even, like, the boys and I went to that one craft show this summer, and they had that one kid was there selling those marshmallow shooters, you know? I mean, we bought one. We bought two of them, you know? So, no, we bought one. But that kid was selling them there at the craft fair, you know? I'm sure we weren't the only ones that bought one, you know?
Right.
And then Matt...
Yeah, it doesn't take much, you know, to sell crap at a craft thing.
Right, yeah.
And you could walk through there and see people selling all kinds of just goofy-ass crap.
Yes, weird
people,
stuff.
People buy it.
Cool stuff. What?
People buy it.
Right. So it's just... gotta put my creativity cap on.
Isn't that it right now?
Oh yeah, it could be. No, but I, like I said, I want to do like a brainstorming thing, like just write everything down, just think of all these different ideas and just write them all down and then just go from there, you know?
Sure.
Yep. I know, Free. They, handmade stuff sells. It does. People like handmade. People are tired of, you know, commercially made products, I believe.
There you go, doggy sweaters.
That involves knitting, and I don't knit yet. I'd have to teach myself how to do it, Kate. So it's going to be, like, a while. That's a skill that I don't have right now, to knit doggy sweaters. I could sew doggy sweaters, not knitting them, but... like fleece ones. I could probably make fleece doggy sweaters, but not knit ones. Not right now. Not tomorrow. Tomorrow I could make a fleece one, but tomorrow I could not knit a knit one.
You make doggy leather jackets.
Right. No, I think fleece doggy jackets would work good. Sweaters. But the knit ones are kind of nice because they kind of, you know, they're more, I don't know. Mold, and then they mold more to the
pet stuff sells really well.
Yeah, it does. Zippers, oh my god, Free! I hate freaking zippers. No, I seriously do not like them. I wish there was like an alternative. I'd rather have buttons than zippers myself, because zippers, you know, they get stuck and then they break and then you can't freaking replace them on some items, you know. And it's just like, right, Velcro would be better than zippers because. Zippers just, they're a pain in the ass. Really. Think about it. You know? You ever have this problem, Grim? Zippers?
When you're really drunk, yeah.
Yeah, like when the fabric
you're really
gets
drunk
stuck.
And you got really got to go and you got to get that zipper right. Down. Boy, I tell you, that's a pain in the ass.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly the thing I'm talking about. You know? Or like sometimes like the zipper, the tip will get, not when you're wearing your pants, like when you go and put your pants on. And then, like, the tip of the zipper's, like, stuck down, like, below where it should be, and you can't, like, get it out of there. It's like, I literally had to take, like, a nail clipper to, you know, pry the zipper out of there so
good
I could...
Good choice, Asmo. He must be a 501 man.
501, there you go. But, no, seriously. Yeah.
There's Beth.
Yeah, but zippers, man, I don't like them. They piss me off, okay? They mess with me. They don't like me. That's what it is, you know? If I have a zipper, it's gonna get frickin', it's gonna get stuck, for sure, at least one time. You know? It's just like, oh my god. But I get it. I mean, they're a good invention. You know, they do have their place,
absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's just me. It's just my luck. It's just, I swear to god, it's Murphy's Law here, you know?
That damn Roms.
I know. It's stuff like the freaking crock pot, you know. Okay, you know, even though it might not have burned the house down, it was really hot, you know, and that can't be good. It's like, okay, that was a close call. Woo, avoided that one, you know. Oh, my God. It's like something every day. It's like, holy shit. You know, you take your kid to the freaking urgent care, and they do the rapid strep, and they say it's negative. Then 2 days later, they call you, and it's positive. So then you got to go out and get his medicine and everything. It's just like, it's never ending. It just never stops. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I guess to sew a button hole on a sewing machine is not hard because there's a setting for it or whatever. Like on fancy ones, you know. And I don't have fancy sewing machines, but, you know, the latest one my mom got me was, it's still in the box and everything. It's brand freaking new. It's like, nice, you know. So, I'm just going to mess around with it. Start messing around with it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And just start getting used to it again. Because I did sew a little bit when I was a kid, so it's not like I'm starting out cold, totally, you know?
Right.
But, and then my mom, of course, she's not here right now. She's in Florida, but when she gets home, I'm going to be putting her to work. I'm going to be enlisting her as a teacher.
There you go. Make use of the resources that are available.
Exactly. You know, and she'll like to do that. You know, it's not something that I'm going to be putting her out or anything. I mean, Christ, she's retired. What else does she have to do? You know? Hello?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, let's hear some tunes here. We'll be back.
Alrighty, sounds good.
This is, you know, I played this song earlier today when I was looking at it, and I don't think it says it's Bob Dylan, but it's obviously not Bob Dylan. But it's a pretty good version anyway.
So, all right, we'll hear it.
Yeah. Go for Moose Girl there. Before that, that was Ringo and a whole bunch of people. Who all was in there? You got Ronnie Wood, Eric Clapton, Bob Dylan, Neil Young, Neil Diamond, Van Morrison, Joni Mitchell, Dr. John, and Martin Scorsese. And starting off there with the Raj Light doing their version of Dylan's Masters of War. So, kind of a folk set. Folk-o-matic. What the folk?
Folk-o-matic.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Yeah. Not our usual rocking set, but...
No, just, you know, something a little...
I liked it.
Who was that? Meister Brown. Let's see.
Knit 1, Trill 2. It's not easy. It's easy to straighten it. To count while you knit. So you really can't listen to anything. Right? Better to own machines that sit and knit. Right. Oh my god. My fucking dog. Okay, I'll be right back. I just gotta go let him in quick.
Alright.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Yeah, tonight is the, for you fringe types, the season, not the season, the series finale. It's a two-hour show tonight, the series finale of Fringe. Be interesting to see how they beat them observers. I guess they'll do it, right? Apparently. They gotta beat the observers. You can't leave it that way. Oh, Rome's already watched it. It's on my DVR. So I'll watch it after the show. Yeah, I'm sure it was already on here too, man. But, I just DVR all that crap. That way I don't have to sit through commercials.
Okay.
Yeah, back. I don't want fringed in either. But you know, what do you do? It's gonna happen. It's happening tonight.
Fringe is already for good.
What's that?
Forever.
What?
Fringe.
Yeah, it's over. Tonight's the last show.
Oh.
Last episode.
Oh wow.
So. Yeah, you know.
The knitting thing, yeah, I mean, yeah, free. Of course it'd be easier to have machines. I don't have money to buy a machine for that knitting machine.
Welcome, my friend. Welcome to the machine.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. The possibilities are endless, I guess. I gotta just do something. I can't take this anymore. It's like, seriously, you know... You get beat down. You can't freaking... You just don't even want to freaking try to get one of their jobs anymore, you know? And there's a picture that I tried to post. I don't know why my pictures aren't working. But I'm going to try to do this one again. I'll just try it again here. But it's Chicago Homicide so far, 2013. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can get it to work.
Yeah, they go, like, what, 50 a week there, don't they?
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. And they're, like, the strictest gun laws in the country.
Of course.
You know, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's really working. Not.
Yeah, it's not, that's not the purpose.
No.
It's not the purpose. Yeah, it's designed to keep you victim,
it actually
from having a way to defend yourself.
Right. You know, because I'm so glad I do not live in Chicago, dude. I am just so glad.
I've never been there, but I'm glad to. There,
but anyway, here, let me link it to you.
Free.
The bra business. That would be good. I mean, I seriously... They need to, like, change the fabric they use or something, because... like I said, if you get like a dog hair or something, or like I work at this stupid place that uses this goddamn fiberglass stuff. There's this material that's got fiberglass in it.
Well, I noticed that
stuck in your clothes.
That last song, that Old Crow Medicine Show song, they were singing about you. They said you wear a fiberglass dress.
I see. I was busy taking the dog out and dealing with the kids and stuff, so I wasn't right here. But yeah, no, itchy as hell, dude. That would suck totally. I mean, you're a guy, so you don't have to worry about the bra thing. But there is nothing as more uncomfortable than having an itchy bra. It is the worst thing, like one of the worst things. Trust me on that. So, there you go.
So, okay, today, January 18, Chicago has 27 homicides, 94 people shot.
Right. I mean, what is it? It's January 18th.
Yeah, that's what it says. So.
That's only 18 days into this year.
I'm surprised it's that low.
Right.
Considering. You know,
designer sport bras. Yeah, they already got them sport bras.
So what, you're going to make a dog hair
that's
bra? What's that?
That's not the fucking answer, me making bras. It's not going to work.
Dog hair bras?
Dog hair bras. What?
You're just
no.
Saying, you were talking about dog hairs. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He's joking wrong. He's buzzing, he said. So, yeah, less murders when it's cold, Asmo. Wait till the springtime, then they'll be ramping them up, because more people will be out and about, because it won't be so freaking cold. Right. You know.
Happiness is a warm gun.
Gun control works. Yeah, just ask the people in Chicago how good it's working for them. Jesus Christ, come on, no. No, I mean, not you, Jesus Christ.
Not me, Jesus Christ? Some other Jesus Christ?
Yeah. Different Jesus Christ.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I don't know.
All right.
It's crazy stuff, this world. You know. Oh, I tell you, it's just one thing after another. Maybe I'll get this photo to load up again, which I want it to. And I've been seeing a lot of posts, like prepper and survivalist posts lately. The one I posted earlier in the chat of how to make a water distiller, you know, a thing to distill your water, a solar water distillery.
Yeah.
See, it's working now. See, you know, this is weird because as soon as I refreshed my imager and all these photos started loading...
Yeah, they get bogged down over there sometimes.
Yeah, I just had to refresh or whatever, basically.
The site gets nailed every now and then. People can't get on there.
Underwear, I don't know. I don't think underwear is the answer. I just don't think so. Maybe if, like, there is no clothes to buy anymore, like, all the stores shut down. Like, if Victoria's Secret closed or Walmart stopped selling underwear, then maybe... Nah, I could do tie-dye underwear.
Moose Gucci's?
What's a Gucci?
I don't know.
What's that? But anyway, there's the dandelion one that I wanted to show ya. I'm going to post that on World Truth, too. So, anyway. I'm just trying to think of stuff. It's really hard. It's scary when, like... You're thinking, oh, what can I do? What can I do? And, like, your mind's a total blank. I mean, that's not happening right now, but it's scary when you're like, oh, I have no fucking clue, you know? Ah. I just gotta stay away from that, though. Don't go there.
That's right.
So. I'll figure something out. Please. I usually do.
Yeah, you got all kinds of stuff figured out already. You just gotta pick some and pick one to start with, and then go to do that, and then you can do other things. So A jagoff? A Gucci is a jagoff?
No, it says it's a freaking underwear.
Yeah, but keep reading.
A jagoff. Oh, my God. Successful business person. I can't think like that yet. I'm not successful yet.
Pittsburghese.
I see. It's slang for undies. Like, what? Here we call them Grundies. I don't call them Grundies, but...
I watched this zombie movie the other night. It might have been last night. I forget. But it starts in Pittsburgh, and then it spreads throughout Pennsylvania, and then...
Yeah.
So I thought of asthma. Ground Zero is Pittsburgh.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Like in that Revolution show, too, they feature Philadelphia.
Do they?
That's like the headquarters.
Oh, that's right. That's where that's
you know
the,
that's the headquarters.
They're
Philadelphia.
All headed to.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
But.
Which is stupid.
Right.
Why would you have it there?
Yeah. What?
Well, why would you headquarter there? That seems stupid.
Right. I don't know. Well, that's the bad guys though. That's the government. That's headquartered there. That's not like the rebels. Stronghold. That's the government in the show Revolution. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Well, the whoever, the militia.
Right.
I think that's their way of saying, look, militias are bad. You don't want militias. Look what they do.
Well, they're the militia, but they're doing the role of government in the show.
Well, sure.
They're the like. The replacement government, or whatever they are, you know what I mean? So, that show's pretty fakey, though.
Yeah, it's got its problems, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt. I mean, you can see why it's for the mainstream audience, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, there was some other shows I've been watching that are pretty good, but nothing you would like.
Oh, I had a video I want to play here for you.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know how good it is, but the title on this video is Nostradamus Predicted Max Kaiser Will Start World War III.
What? Okay, let's hear it.
I haven't seen it yet. It's about 2 minutes here.
All right.
Here you go.
The Bundesbank is planning a phased relocation of 300 tons of gold from New York to Frankfurt, as well as an additional 374 tons from Paris to Frankfurt by 2020. This means they're taking their percentage of their gold held in France to zero, and they're reducing their holdings in New York by 20%, because right now they have 1,500 tons there. So over the next 7 years, they're going to bring 40 tons a year back.
Now, since 2009, central banks have been buying gold, reversing a 40-year trend. And I would expect Germany now not only to be repatriating gold, but to be actively buying gold, just like Russia is actively buying gold. China is actively buying gold. Germany will be actively buying gold as well. And as it becomes known that this gold is not where it's supposed to be, expect panic buying of gold. That's how we get to $10,000 an ounce on gold and $500 an ounce on silver.
Now, this is a huge political statement as well, to ask for your gold back in light of the fact that all our international trade, all our international currencies are based on fiat and faith in that system. So the fact that Germany is asking for so much gold, as the Financial Times says, the largest ever movement of gold in world history. And then so the Financial Times gives a hint of the reason why Germany would make such a grand request. Bundesbank weighs bullion against public pressure. So I want to look back and how did this public pressure come about? And indeed, I could tell you why it came about. Here is the man Nostradamus warned you about, the one that would cause World War III.
Maxidamus! That this is World War III. It's a currency war. We've been calling this for 10 years, really, since we started doing our podcast 10 years ago. We said this is what this century is going to be defined as, the currency war. Buy gold and silver. Gold was $250 an ounce at that time. Now it's $1,600, $1,700 an ounce. And we've taken our audience with us as the most outstanding performing asset for the decade.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to start World War III. No, you know, the thing is, in thinking about this, why does the Federal Reserve care about the gold? They shouldn't care at all. Ben Bernanke already said, gold's not money. It's a relic.
Right.
It's a trinket. There's no value to it. So what do they care?
Yeah, right. We called that out the day he said that. We're like, whatever, fucker. We're like, are you kidding? Really? You're going to come out and say that? Okay.
So, I don't know. I don't know if Stacy is Max's wife or not. They certainly got something going on. But, you know, I like Stacy. And Max, too.
Yeah. They seem pretty cool. I'd hang out with them, smoke a joint with them.
Yeah, you know, they're interesting.
Let's shoot the shit and smoke a J and have a beer with them.
He's a little hyper for me, but you know, other than that, they get excited.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool.
Yeah, it's all good.
Next.
So, yeah, anyway, what else can we talk about? What else is going on?
I don't know. I'll play some tunes. You find something and...
All right.
And,
that'll work.
We'll go from there.
Okay.
Alrighty then. That is No Song by Rebel Inc. Before that, AC/DC, Whole Lotta Rosie, and starting off there with Booker T and the MGs for MG. I'll just say this about Linux for y'all all. Learning. I don't really get that because there's nothing really to learn. It's just, you just use it. It's just like, the only thing you have to really learn is how to partition the drive and do the install. Outside of that, there's really nothing to it. You use it pretty much exactly like you would Windows. The applications are pretty much the same. If you're using Word instead of Word, if you're using OpenOffice already, you're already using OpenOffice. If you're using Thunderbird for your email, then you got that set. There's really nothing to it. I mean, there's no. It's not like the old days where you had a really steep learning curve to get into using Linux. So, I mean, it's a great operating system. And as far as making money from it, well, you could. If you wanted to go that road with it, you could certainly convince other people that it would be beneficial to them and install it on their drives. You could be their tech person.
What's the point, though? I mean, is it better than Windows? Is that the
free
point? Or
it's free.
It's free?
It's free. It's far more secure than Windows. You don't get all these viruses and crap like that. You don't need to.
Why is that, though? Why don't you?
I think primarily it's because of the user base at this point in time. But also, it's a far more secure operating system the way it's set up. Okay. Windows is designed to be hacked.
So when you, Linux compared to Windows. You have to learn the codes and everything? I mean,
no, you don't have to learn anything. It works. It's just a point-and-click operating system, just like Windows is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get the stuff installed and you download applications pretty much in the same way, they've got most of them built right into the interface there. And
I think part of it, Beth, is that what others haven't heard of it is because they just... No one knows about it. Because like Grim said, it's user-based. It's not out in the mainstream. And if people need to upgrade their operating system in order to have working computer, that might be the way to go because of the fact that it is free. And I could see the way that you could make money on it is by turning people onto this system and saying, hey, look here, this is different than Windows. It's better than Windows because it's safer. You know, I mean...
And it's free. And all the software is free.
Even with your eyesight issue,
you don't have to buy any software.
What?
You don't have to buy any software for it at all.
Right.
Everything is free.
I think you misconstrued him. He's trying to help you maybe at first, and then, like, you were so against it and everything. And I didn't want to respond because in the chat at the time when you guys were initially talking about it, because I just, it's too much to type. And so much can be misconstrued in chat that I think sometimes it's easier. And I know I have this outlet here on Friday nights where I know I'm going to be able to be on air and talk about stuff. So sometimes I will not respond to things because I just feel that I won't be able to contribute fairly or as good as I want to just typing something out instead of being able to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Chat is very restricting that way sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, I, you know, we're talking about things that I'm talking about things that I want to start doing. And, you know, yes, I've been talking about this shit for years. You know, I get that. I know that. But this is my, like, sounding board, and you guys are, like, my support system, and blah, 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 you know. So I will come to you guys for assistance and, you know, motivation or whatever the fuck, or just slap me up a little bit, you know. I can handle it. I'm a big girl.
Now, let me just ask Beth, you know? Beth a question here.
Okay.
She says it doesn't allow you to bring in an income where Windows does. How would the operating system prevent you from bringing in an income? That would be my question.
How would what now?
The operating system prevent somebody from bringing in income that they can bring in the other way.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I'm asking the
question. Oh, from a tutoring aspect. But there you go. So, I can see that, where people want to learn Windows because they're used to using Windows.
Right.
Yeah. And they're not asking you to teach them Linux. Right.
Not at this point, because they don't know about it, though. They don't know about Linux. They don't know that it's more secure. They don't know that it's user-based. They don't know that it's free to upgrade it and to start with it. You don't have to buy this expensive Microsoft program for $100, you know, as opposed to this thing. You can install this and use your computer the same way you've been using it. It's
cool.
Just, it's free.
Well, that's cool, Beth. If you're making money, you're making money. It don't matter.
Right, yeah.
You know, whatever the tool is to make the money, that's a great thing to go.
Right, keep going. I mean,
especially like programming. Like if you learn the programming suite of Windows, you could go anywhere and work doing that. There's so many companies that love the Windows operating system, or that are so used to having it. Whether they love it or not, it's a whole other story. From an IT point of view, it's a bear to keep locked down. But but from programming, it's beautiful. I mean, Visual Basic, man. I'm so good with that. I could program that stuff in my sleep. But nobody's using it anymore. not that version. You know, they all went on to the next rendition there, and it's all kind of changed. It's just like back in the day, before Windows, when everybody was operating on DOS. Or the early Windows 3.0, 3.1, I learned Paradox, which is a database application, a relational database system. And I could program Paradox to do anything, built all kinds of front-end applications for it. It was awesome. And I spent a good few years learning how to program that, do all the SQL programming and do all the front-end programming. Then came Windows and Access, and I can't say everything I learned, all the programming I learned for Paradox was thrown out the window, but
then, right?
A good 80% of it was.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn Access, and then every time Access came out with a new version, you know, whether it was 2 and then it was 95 and then 97, each time there was massive changes to the syntax in the programming language, which just drove me nuts. Even though you could reuse some of the code, there was so much rebuilding every time from that, and relearning. And then learning, you know, that I learned, you know, became the Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer. I could do all of the security stuff and all the networking stuff and all that stuff, but that was for Windows NT 4.0. And then comes Windows 2000 and 2000 Server and SQL 2000.
Oh my
And so much of that stuff was just like, I got to learn everything again. And
right, you know?
And it was just like never ending.
Yeah.
But some of the basic stuff still supply or still applies, you know, but
right.
So much of it doesn't. And yeah, HTML, that's not really changed. I mean, there's been some changes to it, but overall, the changes are so minor compared to all of the same changes going on in the Microsoft programming world that happens
right.
daily. And I think they do it intentionally on purpose.
Probably.
To get you to not only keep on buying the new programs and the new operating
right.
systems,
but you have to call the tech
but,
support.
But
all
also
time.
For all the education, all the classes
right.
cost thousands of dollars.
Right, it's impossible.
So
to keep up with it, you know.
But and you have to get recertified all the time.
Right,
and it's just like what? It's a scam.
I know. Scam.
Yeah, but. But with
I mean,
Linux,
I'm willing to give Linux a shot at this point. After hearing you, you know, explain to me what it's
yeah,
about.
Yeah, if you need it, that's the thing. That's the thing. If you need it, you know, if you want to go, just have it to play with. That's cool too.
Just to learn it, you know,
yeah.
just to install it and learn it and fuck around with it and see if I can get it. You know, I mean, it'd be worth it, I think. So
well,
I mean,
I would.
I will. You know, now and I know I have your
ask Asmo, Beth.
You've delved in it, too, so you know a little bit about it now at this point, and there's other users of it in here. So, I will do it. Yeah, right, Asmo, exactly.
I do, actually. You know, it's not that, there's nothing really to it. There's no magic to it. Getting it installed is the biggest trick. And all you got to do is create a blank partition on your hard drive, which
yeah.
you can do from within Windows using the Windows disk management tool. It's simple enough, so you just clear off some space,
mm-hmm.
and then you use that to install your Linux operating system. And after it boots up, you'll have your grub install or boot thing there, and you just select at boot time, do I want to boot into Linux or do I want to boot into Windows? Bing
oh,
bong,
okay.
No big deal, one way or the other.
Right. But you can't
so
be involved at the same time.
Well, I mean, no. I mean,
it's
your
one,
operating
system. Your computer
system.
Only uses one at a time, right?
Yeah, you could
okay.
you could do it with a virtual machine and run
right,
and,
right.
and run in a window. You could run Linux in a window if that was your choice to do. But you're better off just booting into one or the other.
Okay.
From my point of view, for my purposes anyway. Other people, some people like that though. Some people really. They'll have certain processes they're running that they'll want to run in a secure mode, and they'll run them in a virtual machine.
That's cool.
A virtual Linux
yeah.
machine on top of their Windows. I have a buddy that runs an FTP, and he runs it that way.
What's FTP mean?
File Transfer Protocol. It's something
oh, okay.
like if I wanted to send files to you, or you wanted to send them to me, or
mm-hmm.
you wanted to send them up to a server somewhere, you use FTP.
Oh, okay. File Transfer yeah. Process. Okay.
Protocol.
Product, sorry. Okay.
Anyway, so if you do that, you want to run a server, FTP server, you can run it on a virtual machine from your Windows machine, and it runs in an absolutely secure mode sitting there. So, I mean, there are purposes
that's cool.
for doing that.
Yeah.
If that's how you want to do it, if that's the way you want to go. But as far as for, like, figuring out the way, and like I said, most of the applications are identical to what you use right now anyway.
Right. Now, if that's the case, then how hard can it be to learn it, you know?
Right.
I mean, I've been around computers for a very long time now.
Use your KVIRC. That was designed for Linux.
Oh, okay.
And Firefox, Mozilla, and the OpenOffice, and all those applications.
Okay.
And then also you can run your Windows apps under that. You can run them under what's called Wine over there, and so you can run most Windows apps.
That's sweet.
If you need to run them, if you need to run a Windows app, you can do it. You know, some things you can't run that
right.
easily, but most things you can. It is easy. There's certain things that it's not really ready for prime time on yet, Beth. Which is your audio visual stuff that it's still got some catching up to do on that end of things. As far as accessing your hardware is the real reason for that, because I don't know why, but for like webcams and sound cards, things get a little trickier. But if you're not doing that, if you're not doing broadcasting, or you're not doing a bunch of video mixing and things along those lines, then you're probably just fine with Linux. So
right,
and for free. I mean, that's the deal. To me, if you're going to go out and buy
right.
the parts to build a computer and build your own computer, like if I was going to make a desktop, if I was going to buy a desktop, that's what I would do. With a laptop, it's different, obviously, because you don't just go out and build one.
No.
For a desktop, then you just buy the components you want and you put whatever operating system you want on it, rather than going out and buying a desktop
purchasing
computer.
Purchasing Windows or something. Some Windows product that costs you like $100 or whatever.
Yeah, because you're paying for that operating system
right.
when you buy it.
Right.
So you save that money there. And you know, like I said, it's more secure and there's benefits to it, but because there's no marketing.
Right. No one knows about it. So
why,
that's what I'm saying.
Why aren't we more people on it? There's no marketing. There's no
you
massive billions
marketing.
Of dollars worth of
you
campaign
can start marketing it.
To shove it down your throat. You don't turn on the TV and see 47 ads in an hour.
Right. You don't see all these micro. Exactly.
Advertising fucking works. I'll tell you that right now. There's no doubt about the fact that advertising works.
That is true.
Well, yeah, because, you know, as a tech, you can't have it as your, I don't know, but maybe not as your main OS, but your only OS. You need to know Windows as a tech because people are using Windows, and you got to know how to help them out. You
right.
got to be able to duplicate their error on your machine so that you can tell them what they're doing wrong. I know that's what you've been saying, Beth. That's where your money's coming from, so that's what you need to know.
Grim and I, when Grim's helping me with computer issues, he'll just come right on my computer and freaking...
Right.
He'll take it over, and he'll, like, go on there and look at shit, and it's great, because it works awesome. TeamViewer is, like, the best... I use that at my job.
Right, and there's TeamViewer on Linux, and there's Skype on Linux, and there's...
Right.
All these programs, Audacity and VLC and all of them, all the apps you're using, the same apps, you know.
Right, any app.
So, yeah, they're so whatever.
if it's not, you know, Beth, don't get your undies in a bunch about it, you know? I mean, I wouldn't worry about it, you know? You know, if it's not for you, it's not for you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
you know?
be like Asmo and freeball it.
Right, who cares, you know? Don't worry about it, because... You know, if it's something that interests you, dabble in it, check it out.
No, it's a good thing to learn. I mean, especially if you're a tech, it's good to know whatever other operating systems are out there and available.
If she's making money on it now, but I'm saying you could try to even make possibly more money and gain more clients if you say, hey, instead of purchasing a Windows product, let me show you this other thing that is free and you might like better, you know?
And besides that, there are ways to recover your Windows, a crashed Windows system.
That's
via
incredible.
Linux. if you've got them installed side by side, you can go into your Linux, install
wow.
and fix your Windows. So there is that
Beth,
benefit
you know,
to it.
Free was, you know, getting down on you inappropriately, and my thing is just, you know, it's really hard to talk about some things and have in chat and have them not be misconstrued. You know, it's hard because you're not right face to face in front of the person, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's really hard to sometimes.
Yeah.
You know,
intentions.
It's easy to misconstrue things, I guess.
Right, yeah. Intentions don't transfer that well through text.
No, they don't.
Anyway, what's this video you got here, Second Amendment True Believer?
Oh, yeah, I was just gonna, it's just this guy that was at that rally, it wasn't even a rally, that meeting where Adam Kokesh was at in Minnesota, and that's how he became a friend of mine on Facebook.
Okay,
he's
what's
from
his
Minnesota,
name?
Eric Dahlin.
All right.
But anyway, he's the one, he's not in the video or anything, but I guess his friend, J.D. Hendrickson, he's friends with the guy that was carrying a concealed weapons when Obama was in Minneapolis. So he's friends with this guy in the video.
All right, let's check it out.
All right.
While the 9/12 marchers were in D.C. this weekend, the president was in Minneapolis to give a speech about health reform. And while the president spoke to the crowd inside the Target Center arena, outside was a man carrying two concealed guns, one on his hip under his shirt, the other in his back pocket. His name is Josh Hendrickson, and we interviewed him today. He told us that he was not outside the arena to protest, but he said, quote, the Second Amendment isn't suspended just because the president's in town. A Minneapolis police officer spotted the outline of one of Mr. Hendrickson's weapons at the event and asked him to see his ID and his conceal and carry permit. Mr. Hendrickson provided both, and he stayed at the president's event with both of his loaded weapons, not protesting.
So here's what I want you guys to think about, and this is going to make some of you very uncomfortable. I told you principles matter. Not just when they work for our side. It's easy to support freedom of speech when people are saying the things that you want to hear. It's easy to support freedom of the press when the letters to the editor are written by you. And it's easy to support Second Amendment rights. Oh, until the president comes to town and some citizen with a permit to carry shows up at the rally, legally carrying his gun, we defend him too. Do you know why? Because our constitutional amendments do not go away just because the president is in town. Principles matter.
Yeah, yeah, Constitution. Oh, no. I get her point. Oh, that Constitution thing, always sticking its ugly head in the way.
I know, you know, I get the Constitution following. I get that, okay?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I understand it. But now, I can't call myself an anarchist and fault and say we got to go back to the Constitution, right?
No, we don't have to go back to the Constitution.
No, we don't. No. So, I'm a... I get the Constitution thing. I'm not going to say that I'm against. Well, I'm not really against it. I just think it's not necessary. Different. Right?
I just think it doesn't apply.
Right. And they. When has the government ever followed the Constitution?
Never.
Not
since day one.
Right.
Not so, where you're involved anyway, because you're not involved.
It's got nothing to do with you. I'm not part of We the People. We the people are the fuckers that wrote the fucking thing.
You didn't get to sign on the dotted line, so it doesn't apply to you.
My name is not on there. My ancestors' name are not on that piece of paper.
Right.
With their words written down on paper. No. No. So.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
I know. All right, let's hear some more music, I think.
All right. Okay.
But that was interesting. Yeah. They always harass people for whatever, you know.
Oh, all the time.
Oh, there's a president. You gotta put away your guns. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Right.
All right. Johnny? Right. Be the first one on your block to have your boy come home in a box. I tell ya, Country Joe Fish and the Fish there, the Vietnam song. Before that, Trampled by Turtles for the Mighty Moose. And a couple of Johnny Cash tunes. Good stuff, huh?
Yep. Man in Black.
Yes, indeed.
He is awesome. He always will be. He is iconic. He is like a legend, a music legend, an American music legend, Johnny Cash. That will never change.
I love
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, you know.
I love Johnny Cash. So, I mean, I've been listening to him since I was here. On this planet, this time, because he was older than me.
On this planet.
When I was born, I'm 66, he was playing freaking music, and I've been listening to Johnny Cash my whole freaking life, man. You know?
Yeah.
I love him. He's awesome.
He's
Ooh,
still
Country
active.
Joe McDonald.
Yeah. Country he's Joe and the Fish.
Check it out. He's still active, man.
Well, you know. The hell.
Yep.
Still out there fighting against them stupid ass wars.
Yep. Right on, man. Right on, brother. You know, and you know, it's kind of sad that like some bands have sold out for commercials. Like Led Zeppelin, Aerosmith, even Hendrix. There's been Hendrix commercials that I've used Hendrix tune. I was pissed. Because I'm like, who's ever managing Jimi Hendrix shit? Why did they let that happen? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones, and all them guys, Aerosmith, they're still alive, you know? If they want to make go commercial and make some money off making a commercial off one of their hit tunes, that's their business. But what's the deal of making Jimi Hendrix tunes freaking, you know, unless his family doesn't own the rights to his stuff? I don't know. But I think that's, you know, and I think even a Beatles tune has been used. I think Michael Jackson, as far as I know, Michael Jackson owned the rights to all the Beatles music. Now he's dead, so I don't know what happened after that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just like, yeah, it depends on who owns it, right, Asmo? Exactly. Like, but I think Led Zeppelin, I think they actually, the band made the decision. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, that gets all, right, it was for Cadillac, Kate. Yep. You know, I just think that if you stand up for what you believe in, you're not gonna let that happen. You're not gonna go commercial like that. If you're, you know, anti-war, for instance, or if, you know what I mean? But I understand. You know, it's money. But, yeah, it is nuts, Beth, that others own the Beatles music. I mean, like, how did it come up for sale? Apparently it must have been the record company. It had to have been, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah. But it's just interesting to me. I don't know. But, you know, look at Willie Nelson. Like, Willie Nelson's another person to me like Johnny Cash. I mean, I've been listening to Willie Nelson my whole freaking life. Right? Because he was playing music when I was born. So, that's another one that is just iconic to me and just, you know, their music has a message or something. Or, you know, like Willie Nelson. Oh, my God. How can you not like him? You know? I mean, come on. You know, he's like the grandpa you wish you had. The pot smoking, guitar playing, freaking grandfather you never had, right?
Sure.
Can you imagine going on the road with Willie? Wouldn't that be fucking a kick and a half?
Oh, yeah.
That'd be an adventure. It'd be like, fuck yeah, dude. You know, I'll go tour with you. You know, and Neil Young's another one. Just, you know, all that iconic music, like from the 60s. I was born in 66. Hello. It was in the midst of the Vietnam War, you know. I had an uncle that went there. He was a radio guy in the Vietnam War. You know, he does not talk about it. He didn't talk about it. He might have talked about it to someone, but it wasn't me or, you know, the whole family or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, being a radio guy meant he was, like, in the shit because he was the one that was carrying the radio around. You know, the communication, right?
Right.
And anyway, and then my dad, he was in the military during that time. He actually was an officer, but he was active during the Vietnam era, but he never had to go over there. But you know what his job was?
No.
Here? Chaplain? He was the one that got to go to the doors and knock on the doors of the families whose kids had been killed. And inform them that their child had been killed. That was my dad's job. So, that had to have sucked too. You know, the other side of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
He wasn't there on the front lines to see it happen, but he had to be the one to come and, you know, knock on the door and tell the people that, you know, I'm sorry to inform you, your child has been killed, you know, or whatever, you know? I remember I told the boys that one time and, you know, cause they're 12 now, they're old enough to hear that, cause they were asking me questions about it, you know, about my dad being in the military, you know? And I told them the story or whatever, and they said, well, why didn't, you know, I said, yeah, he was active during the Vietnam War. I said, but he never went to Vietnam. They're like, why? I'm like, and I told them the story, and then we went over to my dad's house. This is like a year ago or 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shortly after I told the boys the story, and Zachary says to my dad, he's like, Grandpa, you know, I heard you had to be the chaplain. You were the chaplain during the Vietnam War, you know? And my dad, he kind of, like, paused. I think he was startled at first. Zachary asked the question, you know? And I wasn't expecting Zachary to do that, you know? It was just a random thing that happened. And I'm like, at first I'm like, oh, shit, here we go, you know? Anyway, my dad kind of said, yeah, you know, that's what I did. And he go, and Zachary said something to the effect, well, that must have been really, you know, sad and hard to do. And then my dad said, yep, it was, you know. And then it kind of, he didn't go any further into it or anything, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But I think my dad was kind of shocked that Zachary, that I had told Zachary that. You know, obviously my dad had to have known where he heard it from, you know. But I remember it was a long time before I actually knew that myself, oh, that my dad did that. You know, I knew he was an officer in the Army and everything, but I didn't know that that's what he did. And I always wondered why he didn't go over there.
Right.
And that's why, because he was stationed here, still stateside, to do that. And that had to have been hard as hell to do that. Can you imagine having to do that?
No.
You know, I can't. And then when I learned that, I was like, it was just like this whole different outlook I had about his experience in the Army. You know what I mean? It was just like a whole different, like, oh my God, wow. You know, my dad was the one that did that. It's like, whoa, you know?
Right.
So that was like wild. And then, you know, I do have military history in my family. Like I said, my mom's brother, on my mom's side, her oldest brother, she was from a family of six kids. He went into the Navy as soon as he graduated high school. In like 62 or 61. And he eventually became a chief petty officer. He was stationed on a ship, I don't know if it was an aircraft carrier at that time, but anyway, he was actually stationed in McMurdo Station in Antarctica for 6 months. And that was kind of cool as a kid, knowing somebody that actually had been to Antarctica. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, you know, it was just like really cool. Anyway, he almost could have died at sea because he was a locksmith by trade.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a safe got dropped on his toe.
Ow.
Right. And it fucked up his toe and it got infected while they were at sea and gangrene started to develop, so they had to amputate his big toe while they were at sea.
Okay.
Well, that's just one of the military stories that I heard when I was a kid. But anyway, and then one of my grandmother's brothers during World War II was a gunner on an airplane, and I don't know what kind of plane, but the ones that had the bubbles on the side where the gunner sat.
Yeah.
He was one of them. A gunner. And the plane got shot down behind enemy lines, but they got freaking found and rescued. So anyway, that's just my little military family history there. An uncle in the Navy, my dad in the Army, uncle in the Army, and another great uncle in the Army. So, and then another relative, my grandmother's sister was one of those WACs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Women Artillery Corps, or not Artillery, it was Auxiliary Corps or something like that.
Yeah.
And her husband actually met in France. Because he was stationed there, and she was one of those WACs or whatever. That's what they call them for short, WAC.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, that's kind of a cool story.
WAC, she's WAC.
Right, but that's kind of a cool story, is they met in France during World War II.
Yeah.
You know, and then they came back to the States, and they got married and everything. That's cool, you know?
Right.
Anyway, yeah, she's dead now, but the guy, the uncle, he's still alive. But anyway, so yeah, that's my whole military family tree, I guess, if you want to call it that. I could have very easily been a military brat. My dad almost went into the military full time. So that could have very easily been my life.
Yeah.
But he actually went to college after he got out of the military.
Hmm.
Which, I guess that was a way to do it in the 60s. Or a way to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, so anyway. There you go with that stuff.
There you go.
Yeah, what about you? Any military veterans or anything in your...
My stepdad was a Navy guy.
Okay.
And, you know, regardless of the fact that we never got along, made anything to do with it, I don't know. But, other than that, he was the only one. None of my brothers or sister never went into the military. I do remember, like, in going to junior high school, there was this recruiting station there on the way to while you're walking to school. Like, right there on the main drag.
Right there.
And those idiots, they're always out there trying to drag you into the office. Come on in, look at all these great things we got. And they handed out stickers and stuff, and people take their stickers and put them on their folders and stuff like that, you know.
Right, yeah, because it's supposed to be cool to be in the military.
I mean, for me, you know, I was not born in the right mindset to ever become military.
Right.
Or anything else where you had to follow somebody else's orders.
And see, the thing that gets me about the military, when I was in school, if you weren't going to college or you didn't have a job lined up when you graduated or something, then military, it was like, it was like that was an actual viable option. Oh, well, you could always go in the military. What the fuck?
Yeah,
fucking do that?
Go die for the banksters.
I don't like being told what to do.
The Rothschilds will appreciate your blood.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? No fucking way am I going in the fucking military. You know, just because I have nothing better to do or something, I'm supposed to do that.
For
college when you're done.
Being from San Diego, I don't think. I mean, you know, there's too many options
Navy
there.
Town.
Regardless of the fact that it's a Navy town, most of the Navy guys were not from there. They're from Kansas. They're from Oklahoma. They're from, you know, Missouri. Places like that where, I mean, they had no options, really. There was nothing for them to do. People in San Diego, I don't think too many of them actually joined the military, though there was, you know, military everywhere. There was, you know, Marines and Navy all over the place there.
The bases are there because they're on the water.
Right. So, but, and it's the corner, you know, it's the... It's that little corner.
Well, my uncle was in South Carolina.
But there were so many options.
Huge base in Charleston.
Yeah, there's so many options down there. I mean, there was so much manufacturing going on at the time.
Right.
And you know, good engineering, good schools, good weather. Right. And who the hell wants to join the military? You know, nobody living there did. So you got
this
all.
This was post Vietnam, though. See, that's huge. It's post Vietnam.
We're
in
the
80s or whatever. It's freaking Silicon Valley, the whole shit like that is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, well, Silicon Valley's up north, but yeah, right, but I mean there's tons of tech, tons of tech jobs down there, right?
Right, tons of manufacturing,
and there's all the defense contractors, and I did work for defense contractors.
Right.
You know, I worked for Cubic Corporation, and what
and
they
how
made.
How did you feel about that? Were you okay with that?
Well, Cubic, I was fine with because they make antennas. You know.
Okay. Right.
And looking back at it now, all right, that was probably not a good thing to do. But then I worked for General Dynamics, but when I worked for General Dynamics, I had a problem with, I was like, I don't mind working for your company if I'm not working on any of the military shit.
Right.
And they said, well, all right, good. Well, cool. We need people for the space systems division, which is what I got hired there for. I got hired to work on things for the Shuttle Challenger.
Outer space.
Specifically for the Shuttle Challenger. I was hired there in 1985.
Wow, really?
And so we were doing this testing on these big fuel tanks, doing various vibration, acoustic, modal testing on those things. And I'd been there about a year and a half when the Challenger blew up. And then It was like, okay, well, they're probably laying me off now because, I mean, my job's over
right.
with.
Right.
And they said, well, we want you to, because you're such a good tech, and that was a union job as well, which sucked ass. I hate unions.
Yeah, you don't like unions.
But, and because of them, I don't like unions. Because of working there, I don't like unions. But, so they said, well, we'll transfer you over, into the missile systems division. I was like, I don't really want to do this, but, I'm just doing testing. I guess it's okay. And so I'm working on cruise missile shit. And
what was going on in can I just interject a second? What was happening militarily at that time?
Nothing.
Oh, nothing at all. Okay.
Nothing. But all right. But they were designing the various cruise missile things and and so I was doing various different kinds of testing on those, explosive testing and shock testing and just all kinds of other tests, but mostly it was the vibration and acoustic testing still, since that's what I was.
So you know. Not too difficult, not too freaking.
No,
but four missiles.
Yeah, but I just had to quit. I mean, they weren't gonna. I was like, all right, these guys are gonna lay me off or something. I mean, the contract's up because the Challenger blew up,
right?
And so they're gonna lay me off, and I'm gonna get my unemployment and stuff like that. And they wouldn't lay me off, so I just finally quit. I just couldn't do it. And then I was unemployed for about a year.
Wow.
And then I got a job working at a medical device company, which, looking back at it now, maybe that wasn't the best thing either, but whatever. At least that's on the end where they're trying to pretend like they're saving people's lives. And it was medical device. It wasn't pharmaceuticals. So,
exactly.
But,
I mean, like, I could freaking go get a job up at the sand plant that's 45 minutes north of me, but I totally disagree with it. It shouldn't fucking be there. It's a big monstrosity. It's up in vacation land, up by the lakes, by my boy's summer camp. I'm totally against the goddamn company. Oh, I'm supposed to go up there and get a job?
It's a hard pill to swallow, let me tell you that. It's
right.
So
I ain't gonna go up there and work at no fucking sand plant that I totally disagree with. It's totally an it's not environmentally friendly. It's for some fucking rich motherfuckers to make more fucking money drilling sand out of there. They probably don't even fucking live there. You know? It's like, fuck you. You're gonna come up here and fucking make this dust storm and wreck these fucking lakes for your fucking greed, for your fucking sand?
Right. And Asmo, I had nothing to do with those O-rings.
I was going to say, was General Dynamics the one that did the O-rings?
No.
Good.
No. We were,
so you don't cut that weight on
it. It was just the engines, you know.
Right, yeah. But how do we know it was the O-rings? I'm just kidding.
Well, that's a whole different question, ain't it? That's a whole different cover-up there to talk about.
Exactly, no kidding. But we got Presto here, right? And they make their goddamn popcorn poppers and their goddamn pizza cookers and their fucking whatever else they make, their gadgets, their electrical gadgets. But you know what? They also got a contract with the United States fucking government.
Yeah, well, who doesn't,
so,
right?
So fuck them. Right. You know, because they're contributing to the fucking goddamn war effort. See, they don't even call it, they can't call it a war effort anymore. You notice that? Like, some of the wording has changed from, like, the 40s to now.
Look who snuck in.
Look at that.
You know.
Oh, my God. You know what? He's in trouble. He's freaking late.
He is trouble.
He is trouble with a capital T. C-T, by the way. Capital C, capital T. Anyway, we'll forgive him. Because, you know, he is who he is. So,
yeah.
You know.
And we already played it. We already played the Vietnam song for him, and he wasn't here.
Right, yeah. Oh, snoozy lose. That's how it goes. But anyway, I was going to ask you, unless you were ready to play music.
Well, I'm always ready for that, but.
Alright, okay. So anyway, what's your take on the goddamn Algerian thing? Do you think this is a real deal? What's up with this Algerian thing?
Well.
And or. Do you think that this Lance Armstrong thing is being used as a total distraction to keep us away from focusing on what we're supposed to be really paying attention to?
Well, I'm sure they want people to focus on Lance Armstrong, but I don't think it's working. I don't think anybody's paying attention to that crap. Who cares? Who freaking cares? I mean, when was the last time he was even on a bicycle?
Right, you know, I don't even give a fuck what Lance
Armstrong. They tried to bring up that other guy, some college guy that had a fake girlfriend.
it's like, really? It's like, this is news to you people? It's like, are you kidding me? They're scraping the bottom of the barrel here, Greg.
But as far as Algeria, they knew what was going to happen, and they probably caused it to happen when France went and bombed Mali.
Right.
And they want to bomb Mali. I don't know if you listened to the show yesterday's show. Yeah, I think I talked about it.
Yep.
They have to bomb Mali to steal the gold.
Right. They have to make up something.
Because they need that gold. They need the other resources that are there in the area.
Oh, God.
And so they probably plan this other thing, and they are came out with the story. Well, it's Al-Qaeda. It's the one-eyed Al-Qaeda guy. It's the one-eyed Al-Qaeda guy. and they're saying, well, the one-eyed Al-Qaeda guy is demanding the release of the blind sheik from the first World Trade Center bombing back in...
No, really?
Yeah. It's really? Just like, come on, you guys.
They went there?
That's where they went.
Really?
They're digging. They're digging hard on this one, boy.
Like I said, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
But they knew it was. They knew. I mean,
they knew
before France went ahead and dropped bombs, which is somehow supposed to bring peace.
Have you heard much about this though? Have you heard how many casualties there have been? What targets have they bombed? You know what I mean? You don't hear shit about it. Is what I'm saying. You know?
I've heard plenty about it, but not from, like, NBC or AP or Reuters.
That's what I'm saying.
No, not from them. Of course not.
It's not from the mainstream media. You're not hearing nothing.
No, not at all. But there's all the information's out there, and you can find all the links, by the way, in the blogs.
I know.
All the stories are linked in there. I may not have talked about them much today, but I put all the links in there. Pointing
Trust
you to all the information.
I use your blogs now a lot when I need to look up stories or something. And you know what's great about the Real Liberty Media site and the blog is that you got that little search thing there.
Yeah.
And like if you want to put in some story that I know you talked about, I can put in like, you know, a bit of the topic and it'll come up with all these things. And, you know, and I usually can find what I'm looking for that way.
Yeah.
Which is great because, you know, it's stuff that I know you've talked about and I need to find a link or something. And I just go there and it's just like, it works great.
Right.
So, yeah, it's awesome. Way to go setting up the site.
Whatever works.
And I try to bring people over here, you know, but, you know,
I
do so much. So
well, I think we scare them.
Yeah, we do. Truth scares people, most people.
It does. We do.
It does, you know. Ignorance is bliss for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
We do what we can, right, Graham?
That's all we can do.
Right. That's all we can do. You know, and you know what's the beauty about our show, too? No commercials.
Oh, yeah. There is that. That's
huge.
Right.
No commercials is huge. You know, we don't get paid to do this, but at the same time, there's no fucking commercials. You know?
Right.
So, yeah. You know, I know, Rome's, you know, but it's the military deaths, I get it. It's like, all right, who cares? But if you're willing to go into that, then, you know...
Military deaths...
You ask for.
On which end? Not their end. Not the people that are living there. Not the 40,000 or 400,000 people that are fleeing Mali in Algeria to get the hell out of the way of the American and NATO bombs dropping on their heads.
It's just France. No, it's NATO, and U.S. is part of NATO. So you know what? This is all illegal shit. Because if NATO's doing it, NATO's part of the U.S., then what they're doing is fucking illegal. Like they always do. They get away with doing illegal shit all the fucking time.
For now.
They smoke weed, they snort coke, they fuck prostitutes, they fucking act like they're Christian married men when they're really gay men, you know? Which I don't care if they're fucking gay. It's just like, don't be a fucking hypocrite about it. You know? Come on. They're fucking sickening. It's bullshit. You know? If they want to fucking murder you, they'll fucking murder you and call it a suicide. Alright? They're fucking no good. It's like...
At best.
Yeah.
They're no good
right.
at best.
Exactly. And
at least they're still going after Holder, though.
About you.
I saw some interesting stuff about Holder today. They're still looking to hang him out to dry. Hopefully, they will.
You know, it's the old buddy network. It's like, and then if you're like someone like Holder, and if you don't fucking go along with the program, they're going to fucking find a way to get your ass out of there.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they do it.
It was a good story about that, though, that because of what they're doing, you know, with the screwing the people on the FOIA requests and how Obama's claiming executive privilege and
that's
national
ridiculous.
Security and all these other things and... But they're going at it from different directions. They got different groups of people going after Holder on the whole Fast and Furious thing.
All of it, Grim. Yeah, but when you think about the whole big picture and how it's all interconnected, and you're like, you start connecting the dots, and you see it, you eventually get to the point where you can see the whole fucking picture, and you're just like, really?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you can't really ever see the whole thing. It's really fuzzy. But you can, you know, try and connect some of the dots anyway.
Right, you know, I mean, but you know, one thing that will get you an edge is if you have an interest in history and you've done some research on your own on any level about, you know, about any of these subjects, and you bring yourself to your own conclusion. That's the beauty of it, you know?
Sure, sure.
Reaching it out, you know, believing it and knowing it, the truth for yourself. That's the best thing right there.
Right.
You know, I guess that is right there what keeps me going on this stuff, you know. But once you go down the rabbit hole, there's no getting out of it. You know, good luck getting out of it.
You certainly can't unlearn, unsee, unknow.
Right. That's very hard to do.
As much as they want you to.
Yeah, you can't, like, fake your way through it. You can, you know, which I do. You know, when it comes to relating to the regular people out there, I call them regular people. But I have a hard time because I can't freaking relate very well. You know, I want to say more than I can. So if it comes to a topic where I feel that what I say might be controversial or something or evoke some negative emotion, I just keep my mouth shut, you know, because I realize where the people I'm around are at, you know?
Good. Yeah, no, it's hard to get the... tell people something they don't want to know.
It is, very. Especially if they're not open to it.
Yeah.
You know, they're not reciprocal. You know, they don't really want to hear it. They just want to go along with their daily blissful, ignorant lives and whatever, you know. It's just like, so nothing I can do. You know, I learned this a long time ago, though. And I'm glad for that because it did help me. Because for a while I was getting so wrapped up on wanting to help other people and wake other people up and go, oh my God, you know. But you realize to a point you're wasting your time and you're better off just taking care of your own, you know?
Yeah, no doubt.
So
Kate's got...
We might have a small crowd, but we're pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, picture...
We're freaky and cool.
Picture of the Lystrong guy here.
Oh, yeah, Lystrong. Freaky deaky. There's that doper. Not the wrong kind of dope, dude. Sorry, you made the wrong choice and you should have picked weed, dude. What are you thinking? Look, if you're going to do dope, might as well do weed.
Great. Yeah.
What a dumbass.
Absolutely. Anyway, let's hear some tunage.
Shit, anyway. He's a freaking douchebag piece of shit.
Who cares?
For the fucking money.
It's a freaking bicycle race. Who freaking...
I know.
Who cares? It's like... Really?
Right. Exactly.
Anyway, let's play some tunes here.
Ooh, Oprah. You came out to Oprah. Ooh.
I know.
Yeah, you should be sainted now.
Well, she's the queen, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Whatever.
All right, this is my set for gun people. That's A Gun for Everyone Except for Government by Nima V of Freedom Fiends. Before that, Cows with Guns. I Like Guns by Steve Lee, and starting off there with the Beatles. Happiness is a warm gun. So, take that.
We went off air or something. I don't know.
It still shows on.
Maybe it's just me. I had to refresh or whatever.
Mine still shows on here. I don't see anything.
Oh, okay. No worries. It's just me then.
All right. Nobody else say anything.
All right. Cool.
So yep. I don't know. What the hell do I know?
It's all good to go then. Nope, you're good. We're good.
Good.
Yep. Good, good, good. So, yeah, someone posed a question on Facebook, and yes, I don't use it like a media site, though, for me. It's more for other things. So don't go there. Let's just not go there.
Okay.
Anyway, okay. Someone posed a question. This is Eric Dolan that I met at that Adam Kokesh thing. Christ. You know what, mate? My computer is fucking acting up really bad right now. Anyway, here we go. I found it. I don't know why this is acting up like this. Okay, his question is, can you have freedom without liberty, or liberty without freedom? And what do these two words mean to you? What does America mean to you?
So, that's a lot of questions for a short air.
Yeah, it is. Four questions, actually. Can you have freedom without liberty, or liberty without freedom? I mean, and what's the difference? Okay, let's just start with those. What's the difference between liberty and freedom? You know? I guess I prefer freedom over liberty, because liberty means something. To me, liberty means something that, like, a government has given, granted you.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Okay, so that's the difference there. So you want freedom. You don't want liberty. Screw liberty. You don't need liberty, because liberty means there's a government involved.
Well, if you have real liberty.
Real liberty. That means freedom, though, right?
Yeah, sure.
Right. Okay. That's what I'm saying. So now, this Molly thing. Did we discuss that enough?
I think so. I mean,
what
I don't
was
know.
Your take on it again? It's to get the gold, right?
Basically, yeah, just to another area for them to pillage.
Right. What the hell is going on? You know what, dude?
No.
I gotta reboot.
All right, well, I'm going to line up some tunes here then.
Okay, I have to. This is, something's going on.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got to reboot.
Shit happens, you know?
Yeah, I'll be back.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Right.
Are we out here? Oh, I know where we are. All right, she got to reboot. Those things happen. What do you say? What do you do? Nothing. You deal. All right. That'll be good for now. That'll be good for now. Nothing. All right. Bam, a lamb indeed. All right, folks. That's wraps it up. I was noticing here, I'm recording the audio portion, the talking portions between myself and the Mighty Moose Girl during the show here tonight, and just noticing on the timer that shows how much audio I've recorded, it's over 2 hours worth of talking. So in a 4-hour program, that's actually a lot of talking, considering it's basically a music program. Anyway, I will export this into MP3 format and then figure out where I'm going to upload it. So I'll probably get the link up tomorrow somewhere for it. Don't wait too long. You know, on the rare times that I do the show by myself, you're probably lucky to get about 15 minutes worth of talking. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in, requests, chatting, all that wonderful shit. Hal's on Sunday. I'll be back Monday with the news. Talk to y'all later. Peace.